Amen. The earthly ministry of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, it is one that is, of course, very well documented throughout all the pages of Scripture. There are many events, there are many accounts that are recorded for us, and they give detail and information regarding what Christ did here on earth. They outline to us his work and his service, that mission that he came here to complete, which is to seek and to save the lost. And from a very young child right until his ascension again into heaven, there are many portions that we could turn to tonight, many aspects, many elements, many parts of his ministry that we could turn to and that we could focus on for this time. There were many individuals that Christ met, many men and women which Christ had interaction with, and there were also the multitudes. And even just before our reading, as we've mentioned already, there was that gathering of those who came to hear Christ. There was the feeding of the 5,000, and there was great multitudes that gathered there as Christ taught and as he expounded the things of God. Christ had interaction with strangers. He had interaction with those that he knew well. There are details of his relationships with those who were close, those who were dear to him, and those that, I suppose, were in his inner circle, we could say, such as his dear disciples. Outside Christ's crucifixion and the details of Scripture surrounding the great redemptive act of Christ, the most well-known and the most prominent and often preached upon portions are those when Christ healed the sick. Those times when the Savior met with men and women and young people with ailments and diseases and difficulties, and Christ miraculously cured and healed them. I'm sure there are many here tonight, you'll be able to immediately think of those accounts where Christ healed someone from sickness, some ailment. Think of the blind. Think of those that suffered from leprosy. Think of the man who was sick of the palsy, whose friends lowered him through the roof of the home in which Christ was teaching. Think of the woman with the issue of blood. Think of the woman who was bent over and crippled, and we could go on and on and on of accounts and details of the healings of Christ. Think of those that he raised from the dead. Think of Lazarus. Think of Jairus' daughter. And we could turn to these and many other portions of Scripture tonight, and we could expound them. We could teach the great truths of Christ which are contained in them. And no doubt many have heard some, if not all, of those accounts being preached on. However, as we come to our text this evening, Mark chapter 6, and particularly we want to focus on the verses 53 to 56, we read here of details of Christ's earthly ministry, and particularly his healing ministry. And we have some details here given to us as Christ, he disembarked the ship. He was in the land of Gennesaret near the shore. And in this account of what took place here along the shore, really we have a summary of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And what we read of taking place here in these few short verses of Scripture really characterizes the entire ministry of our Savior. What took place here occurred many times over in other villages, other towns, and other cities which Christ visited and passed through. The vital and most important thing about what took place here and in all the accounts of Christ healing the sick is not so much the physical act. As miraculous, as marvelous, as wonderful as that is in and of itself, but our hearts and our minds ought to be drawn to the great spiritual lessons that Christ was seeking to teach. You see, these occasions where Christ met the sick, where he healed the sick, where he raised those from the dead, they didn't happen. They weren't just recorded to show the power and the sovereignty of Christ. Yes, that was an aspect of it, and that's what they did do, and they proved that Christ was who he said he was. But they are recorded for us in God's holy word because, very simply, they teach us the message of the gospel. They reveal salvation. They reveal the reason why Christ came to this world, which is to save sinners from their sin. They are object lessons. They are great pointers to the power of Christ, not only in the healing of the physical sick, but the healing of the spiritual sick, the healing of our soul from sin. So we come to these verses tonight. That's exactly what takes place here. And I suppose if we're wanting a heading or a summary for what happens here, it's very simply healed by Christ. That's what happens here. That's how we could summarize what we have in these few verses before us. And we want to notice a few things about what was taking place here in our text tonight. Firstly, I want you to notice here that there is sickness. There's a sickness. In our text, we are confronted almost immediately with those who are sick. We have Christ's arrival detailed to us in verses 53 and 54. And as soon as him and his disciples left the ship, we see that they're immediately confronted by people. Look at verse 54. It says, "And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him." Here was the Savior and his disciples. They disembarked and they were met and greeted by the local people who recognized who this was. They would have heard, no doubt, about Christ. They would have heard about his miracles. They would have heard about his ministry. They would have heard about the hype that surrounded all that was taking place. Christ's fame, no doubt, had went before him. And the people recognized here that Christ had come. How we need such an attitude today. People need to recognize Christ. You know, there are children in our land now who have never heard of Christ. They don't know who he is. People no longer recognize Christ. They have no time for him. They have no thought of him. They have no knowledge of even the most basic truths of Scripture. But here are a people who recognized Christ. Then in verse 55, we're confronted here with this sickness because we learn there and ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And again in verse 56, we learn here that there were those that were sick. I put it to you tonight that this sickness, while real and physical in this people, it was no doubt a real account of real events, but this sickness is no doubt a picture and a pointer of the sinful soul. It's a pointer of the spiritual sickness of man. There are two things that we want to observe about this sickness that we learn of in Mark 6. Firstly, notice there the scale of this sickness. Notice where the people gathered the sick from. Look at verse 55. People says there about them that they ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he or where they heard that Christ was. What did the people do? They gathered the sick from the entire region round about. These are not just a few isolated cases. These are not just a few men and women and young people, just a handful that met Christ as he disembarked the ship, just a few with some illness, some sickness, some ailment. Not just one or two that have some poor health and some physical sickness, but I believe that the magnitude of this sickness was great. I believe that there were multitudes, possibly even an innumerable amount of sick here in this region as Christ disembarked to meet with the people. We read further in verse 56, "And whithersoever he entered, in the villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets." Everywhere Christ went, whether it was in a village, whether it was in a big bustling city, whether it was out in the country in a rural area, there were those there who he was confronted with who had some sickness that they were suffering from. Really, in many ways, we could say that there was a pandemic of sickness, although this sickness that they were all experiencing, I don't believe necessarily that it was the one sickness or ailment, but it manifested itself in many ways. Some perhaps were blind, others maybe lame. Others perhaps couldn't hear. Maybe there were those that couldn't speak. There were those that perhaps were on death's door. They hadn't long to live. They were suffering greatly. They were experiencing a great sickness and a great ailment, physically speaking. But the point of what is revealed to us here, that there was no village, no town, no city, no part where Christ went where there wasn't sick and sickness. The scope of this sickness was great. What a parallel we have when we think of sin tonight. You see, you might be here this evening, you might be physically well, you might be fit, you might be able to be out at God's house, you might have nothing physically wrong with you, medically you might be very well, and yet at the same time this evening you're suffering from the greatest disease to ever plague the human race, the great disease of sin. Isaiah 64:6 tells us, but we are all as an unclean thing. The word unclean speaks there about us being defiled and polluted. We're diseased with sin. We have souls that are sin sick tonight. We suffer from a great and terrible illness. Our souls, although we might be well physically, our souls are polluted and diseased with sin and wickedness. We are a diseased race. Sin has entered in by the fall of man. The great sin of disobedience has corrupted all of our hearts and all of our souls. And there is not one in this world tonight, there's not one in this land this evening that is unaffected by this great and terrible sickness. And just as the scope of the sickness of this people was great, so too the scope of the sickness of sin is great tonight. Romans 3:23 tells us all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Just a few verses before that, in verse 10, we learn there's none righteous, no, not one. The scope of sin is great tonight. No one has escaped being affected by the disease of sin. We've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And tonight, friend, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're young or old, whether you're from this land or from somewhere else, whether you're good living and moral, or whether you're a rascal this evening in terms of the laws of the land, your soul is corrupted by sin. You're suffering from this great sickness and this great ailment. And there's not one in this life that is not tainted and marred and affected by the illness of sin. There was sickness everywhere here in this region. There's spiritual sickness, sin everywhere tonight, and in everyone tonight. You must recognize this evening that you've sinned, that you've come short of the glory of God, that tonight your soul is corrupted, it is tainted, it is marred, that all is not well with you spiritually speaking. Oh, physically all might be good. You might think that on the outward appearance that you're living life well, that you're good living, that you help your neighbor, that all these things seem to be going well, you're ticking all the boxes, and yet in your heart and in your soul tonight you're suffering from this terrible disease of sin. You fall short of the glory of God. The scale of this sickness is great, but notice also the seriousness of this sickness. We see here just how seriously sick these people were in the actions of those around them. In verse 55, we learn that the people began to carry about in beds those that were sick. And in verse 56, the sick were lying in the streets. And whilst we're not given specific or particular details of the illnesses and what exactly these people suffered from, and we can speculate about the many different illnesses that they might have had, yet one thing we can be sure about is that these sicknesses and illnesses were serious. They were in a serious condition. They had to be carried about in beds. Many of them couldn't even manage to get to Christ themselves. They had to be laid in the streets. These are not a people that have some mild condition. They're not a people that just have some temporary illness. These are very sick people here. The idea of that word laid there, when it speaks of being laid in the streets, it is speaking there of being laid in a horizontal position. They were literally lying down in the streets of the villages and the towns and the cities. They were seriously ill. And dear friends, tonight you must realize the seriousness of your sin. You know, today many people just laugh off the idea of sin. They dismiss it. They dress it up in nice and fancy language. They call it many different terms. They speak of it as being a human right. They speak of it as being equality, as love, ambition, and so many different terms that they dress sin up as, and they dismiss the seriousness of sin. Men and women can do many nasty and wicked things today, and they dress it all up to be normal, something decent, something even beneficial to society, and they're asleep to the seriousness of their illness and their sickness of sin. Dear friend, tonight you must realize the seriousness of your sin-sick soul. You've transgressed the law of God. You've offended the holy, almighty God of heaven. And tonight, as you sit without Christ, as you sit with your soul and your heart that is corrupted by sin, you're under the wrath and under the condemnation of God. And one day, you will face the consequences for that sin. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. Yes, there's your physical death. Of course, that's as a result of sin, and we cannot get away from that. We're confronted with death. We're confronted with the consequence of sin. We're confronted with the effect of sin. And your departure from this scene of time through the veil of death, it is an outworking and a result of your sin. But there's a greater death. Hebrews 9:27 tells us that it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You will stand before God as your judge. And if you stand before him with a sin-sick soul that has been left undealt with, if you stand before him having rejected Christ, having rejected the gospel, having lived a life in which you've ignored the great problem of sin and you've continued with that sin and corruption and wickedness in your heart, well then you will be cast into the eternal lake of fire forever for a punishment and the wages of your sin. Well, there's a serious consequence. Just like these sick men and women in our text tonight, their sickness left undealt with, no doubt, would have eventually led to their death, and so too it is tonight for you, dear unsaved soul. Sin in your heart, sin in your soul, sin left undealt with, sin ignored, will result in you being cast into eternal punishment. You need to recognize and realize tonight that your sin, it's not something to laugh about. It's not something to brush off and to dress up. But it's a serious matter. The scope of this sickness was great. The seriousness was great. And so too it is with your sin tonight. The sickness. Notice secondly here the solution. You see, all was not lost for these people. There was a great solution to their sickness, and very simply tonight, the solution was Jesus Christ. Oh, before, the condition seemed hopeless. They certainly couldn't remedy the problem themselves. The doctors clearly had no cure. The people had no means to heal themselves. And these people were a people without hope. They were a people that were in a dire situation. They were a people with a death sentence. Their sickness and their illness was incurable, and they were heading to certain death. Oh, but then we read about how Christ, he arrives on the scene. Can't you sense the excitement here, the hope, the joy that the arrival of Christ brought to these people? Word began to spread fast. Christ had arrived on the shore. They would have known, as we said, about him, about Christ. They would have heard about him. They would have known about his miracles, how he had healed the sick. Christ had just walked on the water before this account, and the people began to have hope. Their hopelessness was turned to a great anticipation, and they ran. Notice that in verse 55. They didn't walk, they didn't take their time, but they ran to gather together as many of the sick as they could. There was an excitement and an urgency. Christ had come. And oh, dear friend, tonight I tell you with great excitement, there's hope for you this evening. Oh yes, you're suffering from a great illness. Your soul is sin sick tonight, and in and of itself, your sinful condition tonight, you're hopeless, you're helpless, you're in a serious condition. No one around you can help you or do anything for you, and yet there is hope tonight in Jesus Christ. Christ is passing this way. The Messiah has come to seek and to save the lost. Christ has died on Calvary, has shed his precious blood so that sinners could be free, so that they can be cured, so that they can be healed from the great disease of sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." What's the Apostle Paul saying there? What's he teaching us? He's speaking of the gospel. He is telling us tonight how we can be saved from our sin. That Christ took our sin upon himself. He took our punishment. He bore the wrath of God, not for himself, because we learn there that he knew no sin, but he took it for sinners so that they would be made righteous in him, so that they would be cleansed and cured and healed from the terrible disease of sin, so that they might be reconciled and made right with God. Remember Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." But there's another part to that great verse, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." There's hope tonight. There's hope tonight because by trusting in Jesus Christ, your sin can be forgiven, taken off the road that is leading to eternal destruction and hell, and you're placed on that road that leads to eternal glory in heaven. Well, there was a great hope here that came with Christ's arrival. Notice three things the people did. Firstly, they approached Christ. Look at the end of verse 55. We read there where they heard he was. They went to him. Wherever Christ was, there they were. Whatever village, whatever city, whatever rural area, wherever Christ had went, there were the people gathering the sick unto him. They approached the Savior. They approached the only one that could remedy the problem. Dear friend, tonight you cannot be saved from your sin unless you come to Jesus Christ. Coming to church, whilst good, and we're delighted that you're here this evening, coming to church will not save you. Coming to the pastor, coming to the elders will not save you. Coming to the waters of baptism while a sacrament, whilst a command by God, it will not save you. Only coming to Christ tonight will save you from your sin. It's only when you approach the Savior and throw yourself fully upon him that you can be saved tonight from sin. Christ says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." These people knew they had to get to Christ. He was their only hope. He was the only remedy. He was the only one that can cure them, that could help them. Tonight, dear friend, if you're in this meeting and you're not saved and you're in that hopeless situation, you're heading to a lost sinner's hell, tonight Christ is your only hope. He's your only remedy. He's the only one that can help you this evening. They approached Christ. Then we notice here that they asked Christ. Look at what they did in verse 56. We're told there that they besought him. The idea behind that word besought is really to call or to exhort. They didn't just come to where Christ was, but they called out to Christ. They lifted up their voices unto him. They essentially here were pleading for his mercy. They were pleading for his help. They were exhorting him to lay his hand upon them so that they might be healed and cured from their illness. And tonight, dear friend, you must call unto Christ to save you. Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's not just the case tonight that you'll automatically be saved, that all are just going to heaven. Oh yes, Christ is willing. Christ is able. Christ has a desire to save the souls of sinners tonight. In fact, we read in 2 Peter 3:9 that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But dear friend, tonight you have a responsibility to ask. You must call out to God. You must repent of your sin. You must plead for the mercy and for the grace of Christ to save you tonight, to cure you, to heal you. Well, it doesn't need to be an elaborate prayer. doesn't need to contain all the theological phrases and terminology, but the idea here and the picture that we're given and what these people did here was a very simple but genuine and sincere crying out to God, pleading for his help. I wonder tonight, is that something you would do? Whatever condition you're in this evening, whatever circumstance you're facing, just as you sit in the Lord's house tonight, would you cry as these people? Would you exhort the Savior to come and to touch and to heal you, to save you from your sin? Christ, your only hope tonight, you need to call on to him. They approached Christ, they asked Christ, but we see here also that they attached themselves to Christ. Look at verse 56 of Mark chapter 6. It says, "And besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment." Now, the Greek word that is used for touch there means to attach oneself. They wanted to just even touch the hem or the border of Christ's garments. Why? Because they had the faith that if they did just that, that Christ would heal them. What's the lesson for us tonight? It is that we must attach ourselves to Christ. We must cast ourselves upon him. We must throw ourselves upon him in faith, believing that he can and that he will save us from our sin. That's the lesson here. Paul tells us in Romans 3:28 that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, and our works will not save us. Our good living will never save us. We must place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We must attach ourselves to him. We must throw ourselves fully upon the Savior, trusting in him to save us from our sin. These people demonstrated faith in Christ. It was a faith that Christ could and would heal them if they but touched the hem of his garment. And that's the key tonight. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith that he is able to save you. Faith that causes you to fully cast yourself upon him as your only hope and your only remedy for your sin-sick soul. Fleeing from the wrath that is to come. Fleeing into the arms of Jesus Christ tonight. That's the remedy. Sickness, the solution. Thirdly, finally, consider here the salvation. What happened? What became of those that were sick? What was the outcome of these men and women that came to Jesus Christ? Well, look again at verse 56 there. It says, "And as many as touched him were made whole." All that came to Christ were healed. The word used for made whole there means to save or to deliver. They were delivered from their illness. This was a complete deliverance. Their illness was not just partially cured. It wasn't just cured for a little time. It wasn't just a patch or a fix just to tide them over for the days that lay ahead. But they were completely, they were fully delivered from their sickness. And their faith in Jesus Christ was rewarded here. Christ says in John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." What a promise for you tonight, dear friend. Those who come to Christ in faith, repenting of their sin, fleeing from the wrath that is to come, and throwing themselves upon Christ to save them from their sin, will most certainly be saved. Christ will not turn them away. Christ will not refuse them. That means for you tonight, dear friend, if you flee to Jesus Christ, trusting in him, you'll be delivered from your sin fully, completely, eternally. You'll be made whole. You'll be healed. One day you will leave this world. You will enter into heaven where you'll be with Christ for all eternity. What a day that will be for you. And as Christ healed these men and women that came to him, with this great sickness tonight as they cast themselves upon Him, as they place their faith and trust not in the things of the world, not in themselves, but this man of Calvary who had come here to this land to seek them. Just as that happened, as you come to Christ tonight in all the fullness of your sickness and your sin, the corruption of your heart and your soul, you repent of it and throw yourself upon the Savior Christ will heal you. He'll deliver you from your sin. Deliver you from the wrath that is to come. He'll deliver you from that punishment that awaits, that just and right punishment that awaits the sin-sick soul. And He'll secure for you an eternal home in heaven. Would you do that tonight? Dear friend, would you come as these people came? Just come as you are this evening. Come, the filth and the stench of sin, and come and cast yourself by faith upon Jesus Christ, clinging on to the great promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I trust and pray that tonight you will, and that you would go from this house tonight rejoicing. You came in with a sin-sick soul, a soul that was full of sin and wickedness, a soul heading to eternal damnation, and leave as a soul saved by faith in Jesus Christ, a soul rejoicing, a soul on its way to glory, and on its way to that eternal home in heaven. I trust tonight you will come. Come while Christ is near, come while He is still hearing your call. And throw yourself upon Him for the salvation of your precious soul. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening. We'll turn to our closing hymn this evening. If you're using the hymn books, the hymn 232. O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long, long has He called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. Again, we'll stand as we worship the Lord this